Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. The Top Cat is off on assignment today, but I'm Cal Walters, and he and I are both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we have got an outstanding show coming up for you today, but we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that help make this show possible, including the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline's Counseling Services, the veteran 211 hotline. And of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors, and you are great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt, and SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. And if you like to listen on demand, our regularly aired shows are up via most of the major podcasting sites. Just search SBN or Scuttlebutt. And if you like to listen to Tom's Tirade, you can always check those out on demand at castbox.net. Got a lot of information to cover tonight, including later coming up later on SBN, we will speak with Mr. Charlie Wilson from Viva Medicare of Alabama. He will get us up to speed on what to expect from Viva amid the ongoing pandemic. And we've got the approach of open enrollment, so we'll have some answers for us there. Also, in a follow-up to a story that we brought to you a couple of weeks ago, veterans unemployment is down from the peaks of the virus pandemic. But there's a new report that says that veterans are leaving employment with the federal government more than the numbers of their civilian counterparts. Now, it's interesting, and we'll get into the details, but of course that's interesting because there was such a push in the post-9/11 world for the federal government to hire veterans. So it looks as though they're having a problem with retention. Also, it's a story we touched on last week. You really didn't get into the details, but there was a reported proposal of about $2.2 billion in cuts to the military health care system. And President Trump has said that that is simply a non-starter. So we will touch on that if we have the time. And the Coast Guard fends off a nasty enemy and saves its blow-up unicorn. Yep. You just have to wait for the story. And Tom's Tirade on The Gun is Civilization. You don't want to miss it. But first, the damage to the nation's economy and psyche by the Hong Kong flu and the ensuing panic-demic and shutdowns has been devastating in many ways. And unfortunately, we've talked about the impact that it has had on our individual veterans here on SBN. But we've touched on it a bit, but our veteran service organizations have not been spared as a result of this economic downturn. And we've discussed with some of our local veteran leaders some of the impacts that the virus has had on our local VSOs, and we've even promoted some of their fundraising efforts. One of the nearby American Legion posts had a drive-by. I think it was a drive-by fish fry. I think they raised a good bit of money. But, of course, it's difficult to be able to maintain a budget when you simply don't know where those dollars that you have counted on and relied upon, where they may be coming from next. I know some of the VSOs have been able to apply for some of the money from the federal government as a nonprofit business. They were able to apply for some of those grants and loans to attempt to keep their doors open. But there's a story, and it's kind of a heartbreaking story, but I don't know that it's all that unusual. And it's out of the Buffalo News, but I don't know how unusual it is, not only for what was occurring prior to the pandemic, but what's occurred since. But it's the Private Leonard Post Jr., VFW Post 6251. The story says that it was a social and cultural hub in the community, as many of our VSO, as our posts were back in the day. But they said the headquarters and banquet hall were busy 7 days a week. The post, which was named for a soldier who died on D-Day, was founded 1 year after the end of World War II. As with many of our veteran service organizations, older members are dying off, new ones are few and far between. Revenues have literally come to a standstill due to the virus. And so the post, as many other posts, not just because of the virus, but just in general, they've considered selling their building. I think it's a discussion that many posts and members throughout the nation have had. Their most valuable asset is the post, the physical building. And if it's not being utilized, then they look at that as an asset to be able to maybe pivot to a smaller building, sort of streamline their organization so that they continue to do the things that they have been known to do in the past in their communities, especially helping out veterans. But for the Leonard Post, these discussions apparently brought down the wrath of the state organization, or I guess the department is what it would probably be known, in Albany. The department suspended Leonard Post charter and took the post temporarily under its own authority. Now, at least according to the department, the action was taken because the post failed to formally notify the state organization that it is mulling the sale of its building. Okay, so it didn't follow the chain of command. But it's not as if, at least according to the story, that the post had put a for sale sign out. They had simply discussed doing that. And so the state's now come in, and the post commander is not allowed to say anything. Apparently the state adjutant for the VFW Department of New York State isn't saying anything. Of course, one of those, it's a confidential matter. It's an ongoing investigation, that kind of thing. But you have to look at what the members of this post are looking at. You have members who've been around, they've been members there for 50 years. They said, used to that the post was busy literally every day of the week. They had volunteers, they had membership. They said they might have had 10 new members in the last 5 years. And so they were looking to do the prudent thing to keep the organization going so that it continued to fulfill its mission of assisting veterans in the community. Of course, now all that's on hold. They can't even hold a meeting, according to what the department has now told them. They've tried to raise money. They raised $1,500 for the chicken barbecue, but they're still too far behind. And so now they're caught betwixt and between. They can't move forward, and yet they can't do anything to stabilize their position. And it's just an unfortunate situation, and I hate to say it, but I think you're probably going to see more and more of our veteran service organizations in this type of situation because of the falling membership and the pandemic. So it's just an unfortunate situation. Hey, on the other side of the break, Mr. Charlie Wilson with Viva Medicare of Alabama when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. Hey, you can also check us out on Facebook, and you can follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And it's always an honor to be joined on SBN by Mr. Charlie Wilson from Viva Medicare of Alabama. Charlie, welcome back to SBN, and thank you for your service.
Hey, Cal. Thanks so much, buddy. How you doing tonight?
I'm outstanding. I hate to say it, but it's a good thing for us, at least, that the hurricane has decided to go elsewhere. But it certainly looks like it's going to be bad news for the folks to our west, and for those of us who have been through hurricanes, it's certainly nothing to wish on anybody else. So our thoughts and our prayers are with all those folks out there in Louisiana and Texas with this hurricane approaching.
I absolutely second that.
So, it's been a while since you've been on with us, you familiarize our audience a little bit about Viva and exactly what Viva does.
Well, it's a great question. So, Viva, we're a Medicare Advantage plan. So, we're actually owned by UAB Health Systems out of Birmingham. So, we're a local company. We're a company here in Alabama for Alabamians. We were founded back in 1995. We've been doing Medicare and Medicaid since 1998. We have well over 300,000 members throughout the state of Alabama. So we're a large healthcare provider.
And so you mentioned the Medicare Advantage plan. How is that different from what most seniors may be thinking when they're thinking of Medicare, and then I've got Medicare supplements and Medigaps, and how does the Medicare Advantage plan fit in?
Well, it's a great question. So Medicare Advantage plans were actually designed by the federal government and insurance companies back in the early 90s, Medicare was, there could be eight doctors in a strip mall billing for the same thing and several hundred dollars in difference. So they knew there had to be a better way to practice. So Advantage plans came about, like I said, in the early 90s. And are you there?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Oh, I think I'm getting some feedback. I'm sorry. So the difference between supplemental plans is you kind of pay up front for those plans. You have a monthly fee for those. And then on Advantage plans, you just pay copays. So you kind of either pay up front like car insurance, whether you use it or not, or Advantage plans are set up where you just kind of pay as you go.
Okay.
And we offer a lot more. There's a lot of extras in there. We'll talk more about that, but like dental and eyewear and gym benefits, over-the-counter benefits. So they offer more than just a supplemental plan does.
Great, great. As you said, I know we're going to dig in a little bit deeper. But I know one of the unique things about Viva is that you have your local offices, and I think they're called cafes. Tell us a little bit about what you've got in the local area.
Yeah, and couldn't be more proud of that. So we have what's called local cafes. We have one here in Mobile. So we have cafes throughout the state of Alabama, from Huntsville all the way down here to Mobile. And it's a place for our members to come in. And we're kind of unique. We're the only ones that have these. Like I said, our local office is here on Dolphin Street, across from McConnell Cadillac, right behind the Crystals there on Dolphin Street in that strip mall. But our customers can come in and sit down face-to-face, when it's not coronavirus time, but sit down and talk to us. They still come in today and they get reimbursements for different things. You know, they can go over the plans. We have a fence there, again, pre-corona, and hopefully soon we'll be able to get back to those, where we do health checks for our members. We have events like bingo and healthy cooking. So we do a lot of fun things. We're very involved in the community, and we're very involved with our members.
Well, now, and one of the things you mentioned is, the world prior to the virus, and of course, where we are now. And I know we're going to get into some of the plans and how people can sign up. But if, a lot of our seniors, like the opportunity to be able to sit down face to face with someone and ask questions, how are you dealing with that when it comes to the virus and the pandemic and everything that's going on there?
Yeah, so we've actually put a lot of things into place. Obviously, if somebody comes into the Mobile Cafe, we all have masks on. We separate by more than 6 feet. If somebody does still want to come in, and we have them every day that come in and want to sit down and talk. We've also set up, and we're very proud of this, where people can either go online or they can call me personally. And I do a lot of my enrollments over the last year have been through telephone and not face to face. So I'm able to have everything at my fingertips, where I can look up their Social Security. I can help them, find out if they qualify for any extra help. I can still do everything I could do in a face to face meeting. I can just do it through over the phone or through a Zoom meeting. Some of our seniors actually really have taken to Zoom and love Zoom, so we're able to do that as well.
Well, and the technology side of things, as we are finding out, is absolutely remarkable, except when something like Zoom crashes. I think it was a couple of days ago.
Like it happened apparently. This week, that's right.
Yeah, they thought it was just the East Coast, and then apparently it hit the entire nation. So I have no idea how business was conducted for that day, or all the people that were on their Zoom meetings. But yeah, it is remarkable how that has moved forward. So your offices are still open. Do they have to make an appointment, or can they just walk in?
Yeah, absolutely can just walk in. We have a big plastic screen up front. Our lady Phyllis still sits up front, and she greets everybody that comes in. She's wearing a mask. We have the plastic screen, and then she kind of, helps them up front and answers any questions they have. And if they need to see me, she'll come back and get me, and we'll meet in a private office. Again, following all the guidelines we need to follow to make sure everybody feels safe and comfortable.
Oh, great, great. We've only got a couple minutes before the break. Can you hold over to the other side of the break?
I'd love to.
Great. Very briefly, before we jump into the details of the various plans, how does Viva fit in with what our veterans might be getting through the VA, and how can you assist them in sort of navigating that?
So we have plans just for the veterans. We obviously have plans for all our seniors, anybody that's on Medicare. We do a lot with the veterans. We give them options to go outside the VA if they want a second opinion. In some cases, the VA may not always be convenient for our local veterans. It being out in Tillman's Corner, some may have a problem with transportation getting there, whatever, the case may be. So we give them other options. And then a lot of our veterans use us because the VA does take really good care of them, they use us for the extra things that we offer. So we have an over-the-counter allowance. We have a large dental allowance that they can use for anything they need to use it for, dentures, getting their teeth pulled, cleanings, whatever. We have an eyewear allowance, and then a big gym network where they could use it to just go to the gym and stay healthy. So we offer the veterans a lot of extra things and, you know, give them some options they may not have right now.
And when you say that these extras are offered, we only have about a half a minute left, is that at an additional expense?
So it's not. They're part of the plans. Our plans don't cost anything. They're paying their Part B premium, and then we're able to offer them these extras at no additional cost to them.
Okay, great. Well, on the other side of the break, we'll jump in, maybe dig into a few more details about the plans and exactly how they might help veterans, and get into some more of the details about how to shop for a Medicare plan.
Perfect.
Or when can someone sign up? I know open enrollment is coming up soon. So on the other side of the break, we'll have more with Charlie Wilson from Viva Medicare of Alabama when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Off we go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high into the sun. Here they come, zooming to me.
Hit a lick against what's wrong, or say a word for what's right, even though you get walloped for saying that word. Now, I may sound like a Bible beater yelling up a revival at a river crossing camp meeting, but that don't change the truth none. There's right and there's wrong. You gotta do one or the other. You do the one and you're living. You do the other and you may be walking around, but you're dead as a beaver hat.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM, firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I am Cal Walters. Tom is out on assignment, but we're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. Hey, check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN, and we do want to thank the folks that helped make the show possible. The Battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, our sea lawyer Colin Kimmerly, and all the folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifelines Counseling Services, the Veterans 211 hotline. And again, we are speaking with Mr. Charlie Wilson from Viva Medicare of Alabama. And Charlie, we thank you for being with us. A lot of great information in the prior segment. So tell us, I know we've covered a lot of information. Are there any specifics about the plans that you would like to bring up with our audience, you know, and specifically when you're targeting veterans?
Well, you know, my goal, and when I work with any senior, but, you know, obviously being a veteran, have a special heart, a place in my heart for the veterans. I want to make sure that everybody understands the process of Medicare, what their options are to Medicare, whether it's Viva or another company. I just want to make sure that they have somebody on their side, somebody that they can lean on, somebody that understands this. As you know, Medicare can be super confusing. So I just like to make sure that they have everything they need and the access to all the knowledge that they need. One of the things we do that I love, that I, when I sit down with everybody I sit down with, I try to find any extra help I can. There's things called LIS, or low income subsidy. It's a federally funded pharmacy assisted plan. So, and it's all based off finances. So we kind of have that conversation. Also, I might be able to get somebody. There's a lot of veterans that I've signed up for Medicaid. They didn't even know they qualified for Medicaid because they didn't know that there was a Medicaid after, or once you got on Medicare. and Medicaid will pay the Part B premium. And for a lot of people, that's food or medicine or them being able to pay their rent. It saves them thousands of dollars a year. So I always try to make sure that I'm working with everybody. Insurance is individual. When you get on Medicare, everybody has a different story. Everybody has a different need. So I like to make sure that I have real depth conversations with them where I know what their need is and I can point them in the right direction. Again, whether it's Viva or another company, I've been doing this a long, long, long time, and I can help a lot of people out for sure.
Well, it certainly sounds like it, but it really sounds like you bring more to the table than just a product under the umbrella of Viva. It sounds like there's a lot of other information that you can assist veterans and our other seniors with to bring that to the table so they have a better understanding of what's available for them.
Absolutely. I do Medicare education classes all the time in group settings and mostly one-on-one settings. So if somebody just has generic questions about Medicare or very specific questions about Medicare, I'm known around town as the Medicare expert. They can call me, talk to me. I can point them in the right direction or do the research I may need to do if there's something I'm not 100% sure on. But most of the time, I know exactly what they need. So.
Outstanding. Now, I know we mentioned open enrollment is something I've heard that title tossed around a little bit in terms of it's about to start. So, what is open enrollment? When can someone sign up for Viva?
Great question. So there's a lot of times people can sign up, but to your point, the annual election period, they call it AEP, is October 15th through December 7th. That is, it's also known as open enrollment. That's when any senior that's on a Medicare Advantage plan or a Medicare supplemental plan can look at other plans and make a change if they want to. All the seniors know when it is because their mailbox fills up with the seven companies in Mobile and Baldwin County. All their information gets put in their mailbox about October 1st. And then they can look at that and see. And there's some things people want to look at. You definitely want to look at medications. If you're on any expensive medications, you know, from plan to plan, you could save hundreds of dollars a month or a year. You want to look at all your doctors are in network. So there's certain things you want to look at when you get into that. But not only does somebody have their AEP to sign up, but if they've recently moved, if they've been awarded one of the things that I talked about earlier, either low income subsidy or Medicaid, or if they lost it, they have an election period. If they're leaving group insurance, if they're aging into Medicare, they have 3 months prior to their birthday month, and then 3 months after to sign up. There's a 7 month period. So there's always times they can sign up. You know, we can always try to look and see, but definitely the one time a year during AEP, all seniors can look at changing their plan during that time.
And so let me ask you this. You may have someone that already has a plan with Viva. Do you often have instances where you may sit down with that client and say, well, wait a minute, you know, we've got some things we can tweak. We might have some better opportunities for you. Or is it simply you're looking at folks who have other Medicare plans that are looking at Viva?
No, absolutely. So every year, the plans change on the Advantage plan. Supplemental pretty much same place stays the same. Their rate could go up. It never comes down, but it could go up every year. But on Advantage plans, yeah, we change our copays all the time. We change how much of the extras you get, how much dental, how much eyewear, how much over the counter. And some people qualify for rides, but to and from doctor's offices. So there's always something we want to look at, and there may be something for our existing customers for sure that would better take care of them or a plan. And you know, I do that most years. My customers, I'll get a call from a lot of them saying, hey, if you have an event, like, you know, you're getting knee replacement surgery or hip replacement surgery or cataract surgery, there may be an event in your life where a plan could be better than another plan because it's going to save you some money.
Absolutely. Charlie, we appreciate you being on with us, and thank you for all the great information. How can folks get a hold of you if they have questions?
Yes, so if anybody would like to call me, you can call the mobile office at 380-2222. That's 380-2222. And we're at 3059 Dolphin Street, right across from McConnell Cadillac. Most people know where that Crystal's drive-thru is right there. So we're right there in that, right off the interstate, right there in that parking lot.
Outstanding. You know, and if they don't know where the Crystal is, they can probably just follow the line for the drive-thru.
Because
most
right.
of the places have, yeah.
Or the smell.
But there you go. Hey, Charlie, we
good.
Want to thank you. Charlie, thanks so much for being on with us again. Thank you for all that you do for our veterans through Viva Medicare. And we look forward to having you on again soon. Hey, on the other side of the break, Tom's tirade on The Gun is Civilization. All that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Tom Claxton.
The discussion about gun control coming in the wake of the terrorist attack in San Bernardino, although entirely misplaced, but nonetheless thrust into the national psyche by the pulpit of the bully-in-chief, has driven me to examine a bit more about how the Second Amendment has affected our nation from its very founding. Along the way, I have discovered that some very astute observations that I would like to share with you here. The first is a commentary by Major L. Caudill, USMC retired, entitled, "The Gun is Civilization." I think it speaks volumes about who we are and where we have come from and who we will continue to be if we exist at all as a society. Human beings only have two ways to deal with one another, reason and force. If you want me to do something for you, you have a choice of either convincing me by argument or force me to do your bidding under threat of force. Every human interaction falls into one of these two categories without exception. Reason or force, that's it. In a truly moral and civilized society, people could exclusively interact through persuasion. Force has no place as a valid method of social interaction, and the only thing that removes force from the menu is the personal firearm. As paradoxical as it may sound to some, when I carry a gun, you cannot deal with me by force. You have to use reason and try to persuade me because I have a way to negate your threat or employment of your force. The gun is the only personal weapon that puts a 100-pound woman on equal footing with a 220-pound mugger, a 75-year-old retiree on equal footing with a 19-year-old gangbanger, and a single guy on equal footing with a carload of drunken guys with baseball bats. Isn't that the damn truth? The gun removes the disparity in physical strength, size, or numbers between a potential attacker and a defender. There are plenty of people who consider the gun as a source of bad force equations. They are the people who think that we'd be more civilized if all guns were removed by society, because a firearm makes it easy for an armed mugger to do his job. That, of course, is only true if the mugger's potential victims are mostly disarmed either by choice or by legislative fiat. It has no validity when most of the mugger's potential marks are armed. People who argue for the banning of arms ask for automatic rule by the young, the strong, and the many. And that's the exact opposite of a civilized society. A mugger, even an armed one, can only make a successful living in a society where the state has granted him a forced monopoly. Then there's the argument that the gun makes confrontation lethal and otherwise would only result in injury. This argument is fallacious in several ways. Without guns involved, confrontations are won by the physically superior party, inflicting overwhelming injury on the loser. People who think that fists, bats, or sticks, or stones don't constitute legal force watch too much TV, where people take beatings and come out of it with a bloodied lip at the worst. The fact that the gun makes lethal force easier works solely in favor of the weaker defender, not the stronger attacker. If both are armed, the field is level. The gun is the only weapon that's as lethal in the hands of an octogenarian as it is in the hands of a weightlifter. It simply wouldn't work as well as a force equalizer if it wasn't both lethal and easily employable. When I carry a gun, I don't do so because I'm looking for a fight, but because I'm looking to be left alone. The gun at my side means that I cannot be forced, only persuaded. I don't carry it because I'm afraid, but because it enables me to be unafraid. It doesn't limit the action of those who would interact with me through reason. Only the actions of those who would do so by force. It removes force from the equation, and that's why carrying a gun is a civilized act. Not a bad read and a perfect common sense approach to the debate. Taken to its logical conclusion, in fact, the greatest civilization is one where all citizens are equally armed and can only be persuaded, never forced. This is why our founding fathers understood all too well, having lived under the heavy hand of the British. But because they were armed, they were able to overcome and fight off their oppressors. Not because they had better diplomats or lawyers or a well-armed police force. No, they won because they had the weapons with which to overthrow England, which until that time had been known as the most formidable fighting force in the world. Yes, along the way, there was much bloodshed on both sides. And as it was said, the tree of liberty must be refreshed from time to time with blood of patriots and tyrants. To say that we as a nation have forgotten this might be a bit of a stretch. Remember, the Japanese in World War II said that they would never invade the U.S. mainland because behind every blade of grass would be a patriot with a gun. I think that today, probably more so than at any time in our history, we should embrace the purpose of the Second Amendment and embrace an armed citizenry, at least an armed law-abiding citizenry. For not only is the gun an equalizer between force and reason, it does not discriminate due to political correctness. A dead terrorist is a dead terrorist, and the civilized gun speaks louder than the barbarian's knife any damn day. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton.
If you open the ball on these people, Mr. Nash, you must be prepared to go all the way, because they won't give up the fight until one of you is dead.
Here's how you get him. He pulls a knife, you pull a gun. He sends one of yours to the hospital, you send one of his to the morgue. That's the Chicago.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Pull up, sir!
Pull up, sir!
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Boom, shakalaka, boom, shakalaka, boom, shakalaka.
And welcome back to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM, streaming live at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Hey, Top Cat's out today, but I'm Cal Walters. We're a couple old Marines with just a little bit to say, the First Amendment right to say it, and the fighting spirit to keep it in, you know, kind of brought back the gun of civilization. I mean, it's a timeless topic, but certainly in the wake of some of the things that we're seeing in our streets across the nation, mainly in some of the larger democratically held cities, it's definitely interesting to see exactly how that equation of force plays out. You know, when you have the videos of diners out on the streets just trying to enjoy dinner and being forced, or at least berated, to raise their fists. I was talking with Tom earlier today, and I said I'd have no problem if they said I needed to raise my fist. It might make contact, unfortunately, with someone's face, but I could certainly raise my fist. And, you know, if they had a problem with that, I could tell them I could raise the other one. But then we could go from there. You know, it's just unfortunate because apparently our police have decided that they are going to let these looters and rioters take our streets. And I don't think it will end very well. But this is kind of just an interesting, cute story. You know, the Coast Guard, love the folks, love our Coasties. And, you know, there's nothing quite like a dip in the Pacific after a long day of work, especially when the job is on the sun-beaten deck or the engine room of a U.S. Coast Guard cutter. And so the National Security Cutter Kimball had ended Wednesday with a special treat, a carefully orchestrated swim call for more than 40 crew members. Apparently, they jumped in with swim fins and other paraphernalia. I'm a little disturbed that they actually had a massive inflatable unicorn. I don't know exactly where you stash that on or stow that on the cutter. And apparently everything was going very well until an 8-foot shark decided it wanted to join in the fun. Thankfully, apparently the Coast Guard, they do some marksmanship training. And so, yeah, they fired off a few rounds there in the vicinity of the shark. And apparently it initially it scared the shark away. But apparently the shark was not deterred. It decided to make another trip while the Coasties were trying to get out of the water. And yet another blast from the weapon apparently scared the shark off long enough that the crew got on board safely. Even the inflatable unicorn was retrieved. So hey, I can't make this stuff up. But that's going to bring us to the close of tonight's edition of the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, The Voice of the Veterans. For the veterans, we thank you for joining us, and we hope that you will join us again soon. Until then, please keep our warriors in your prayers, especially those that are in harm's way. May God bless America. Remember, hero is not a four-letter word. We will catch you on the other side.